Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Esther. We thank you, Father, for she came down here to speak to us today. Lord, it is a God's moment. It is a God's moment. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you'll be with her. Lord, give her the excitement, Lord, that I know she is. And Father, that she can explain and tell us a bit more about CAP today. We ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, good morning. Tēnā koutou te whare karakia a Wainui o Mata Baptist Church. Formal greetings to you all. He honore, he kororia ki te atua. All honour, all glory to you, our God. Tuatahi ki te karakia a Alan. Kia ora. Acknowledgements to Alan, who's prayed and welcomed me today. Tuarua ki te mana whenua o tēnei rohe. Acknowledgements to those who have gone long before me and who hold the mana of the whenua where we stand. Tuatoru ki te whare e tū nei, ki te papa e tākoto nei. Acknowledgements to this house and the earth that holds it. Tuawhā ki a koutou katoa I haere mai ki tēnei kaupapa. Acknowledgements to all of us here who have gathered today for worship. Ko viti toku whakapaparanga mai. Fiji is the place of my ancestors. Ko rewa, that's actually a photo from my island in Fiji. Hey, who would like to go? Yeah, haramai. That's a road on the way to my village. Ko rewa, te awa e mahea nei aku maharahara. Rewa, that's the river up there. That is the river that alleviates my worries. I didn't grow up on my village in the island. I grew up on the mainland in my mother's village. And that river was the river that my brothers, my cousins, all of us played in, got into a little bit of trouble in, traveled from one place to another in. And so that is the river that alleviates my worries. Ko te moana nui a kiwa toku tūranga waiwai. The Pacific Ocean is my standing place of empowerment and connection. In Te Ao Māori, there's most often reference to whenua and maunga, and for Tangata Pacifica, for me, those landmarks are important, but also the ocean is the thing that connects us. The ocean is our place of empowerment. E mihi ana ki ngā tohu o nehe o Puketāpapa e noho nei au. I recognise the ancestral and spiritual landmarks of Mount Roskill. I'll leave that there. Can't go back, eh? Oh, I can? Just press the back button. It's working! Oh, kia ora. Lucky we're all whānau, eh? Puketāpapa, that's Mount Roskill. That's where I live in Tamaki Makaurau. So that's just me acknowledging that's where my family and I live. Speaking of my family, ko Benjamin toku hoa pumo. That's my hubby, Benji. He's my constant, faithful, true place. Ko Malakai, rawa ko Micah Rose. Aku taonga nui. That's Malakai, my 5-year-old boy, and Micah Rose, my 2-year-old girl, and they are my greatest treasure. Ko Esther tōku ingoa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā rā tātou katoa. Just a little bit about me, because I'm going to get excited about CAP, and so you know that I'm generally a normal person. And not so intimidating to chat with in the foyer. I thought I'd let you just know a little bit about me, about my background as well. Thank you so much, Pastor Royce and Liz, for having me here today. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Alan, for inviting me. I've genuinely already had a great time here this morning. May I just comment that I did turn around during worship at one point, and everyone was doing, there's so many people doing the actions to the songs. And I just thought, this is the coolest place to be on a Sunday in Wainui o Mata. It's quite hard to get a group of grown adults, you know, to like do actions together. And I'm from the Apostolic Church, like I'm an Apo girl, right? So we like to get a bit excited in church. And I turned around and I saw that and I was like, man, if I lived here, this is the church I would go to. This is awesome. So thank you so much. What a beautiful place of worship. What an amazing community. And so while we're in that mood of perhaps celebrating and being excited to be together, whether you've walked all of the journey with CAP, as Alan said, CAP has been partnering with Wainui o Mata Baptist for about 9.5 years, or if today you're hearing about CAP for the first time, my hope this morning is that you would be encouraged in what God has been doing through your church in the community, and also inspired about maybe what you can become a part of and what you can see God continue to do through our partnership together. So in what CAP provides, essentially we provide a centralized expertise and support around money and debt help service. And you as a church, what you do is you hold the relationship with the people that we together are serving. And throughout this journey, we together are sharing the love of Jesus with people. We're offering prayer, visiting people in their home, inviting them into your faith community. I think the midwinter dinner is a great place to invite people from the community along, and sharing testimony, indeed just sharing Jesus. And so over the last 9 years, here are some cool stats from your church. Over the last 9 years, you've visited 127 families. In their homes. Hey, how good is that? Of those families, 33 of those households have gone completely debt-free. Come on, we can praise God for that this morning. That's awesome. One of those debt-free families just happened last week. So how cool is that? Currently, there's another 14 families who are being set up on the journey with long-term support, and that's a journey that can take about 2 to 3 years. We have an advocacy team at CAP, and this advocacy team, essentially for every client that comes on board, every whānau that comes on board, they look at all of the loans and ensure that every loan that a client may have been given is a fair loan. Now, it's a law in New Zealand that every loan has to be fair, but CAP is currently the only organisation in the financial sector that holds creditors and loan sharks to account. And so we're a part of something great here. And so for our advocacy team, and we've only been in action for about 3 to 4 years, they have won 5 disputed loans in your community with a combined minimum potential saved of just under 65K. Isn't that awesome? And over our partnership, just under $1.65 million of debt and bills have been repaid or written off. That's just through your center. How good, right? That's a huge number. And so I just want to let you know, church, this morning, you're a part of an amazing work that's having a transformational impact in people's lives. And I think often we can underestimate, this is a CAP quote, we can underestimate what we can do in 1 year, sorry, overestimate what we can do in 1 year, and we underestimate what we can do in 10. And so the CAP model is not about a quick fix. The CAP model, as Alan said, has been to walk alongside people, to meet them where they're at, without judgment or agenda, and to walk with them in their journey, whatever that may mean. But our expertise is in debt help. And I want to say over and over again, the team here, Alan, every support worker, they have been agents of hope in what might look like hopeless situations. And so I'm so very thankful. Oh, it's fine. To the leadership team here, the eldership, thank you. We are really proud to be working with Wainui o Mata Baptist. We know you have the heart for this work. If you didn't, we wouldn't be 9.5 years deep. So thank you so much. To Ellen, who is currently doing this, I do want to take a moment to honour you, Ellen. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for your faith. It's not an easy job by any means. It is often messy, it's often hard, and it's the outcomes that we're often wanting, they don't come quickly. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness in the Lord to believe that He is at work in all situations and to continue to walk alongside clients, to continue calling and showing up every time, to be encouragement embodied for so many people. Thank you so much. We love you and we honor you today. So, my role at CAP is the Head of Partner Services and Support. That's what Ellen introduced me as. So essentially, I look after the team who looks after clients, who has partnerships with our church leaders, but who also, I also work with other NGOs that we might be aligned with or have mutual clients. And I have spent most of my working life either working in churches or in the social services sector. And I can say this, as Christians, sometimes it can be easy to see poverty as a simple equation of needing food or shelter. But I've been challenged to better understand the intricate web of challenges faced by those who are in need. So it's not often just food and shelter. There's the mental health cost of having those debt collectors calling. It's the anxiety of a bill that comes in the mail. It's the desperation that it can create in a person or in a family, not just in our relationship with money, not just in their relationship with others around them, but with themselves and with God. And since working at CAP, I've had this incredible privilege of hearing people whose stories are both heartbreaking, but at the same time being able to see the transforming power of God at work. And so today, I'm really proud to be a part of CAP and this organization and the kaupapa that we have to help end money chaos across Aotearoa. As a church today, and I think next Sunday, there's a missions kind of focus that we have. And so I'm going to just chat today a little bit more about the missional work that CAP is a part of through partnership with this church. And I love that there's a focus going on here around this kind of mission work and outreach, because it makes it obvious that you are, as a church, as a faith community, prioritizing people who might be in need. Or even just creating the space in your Sunday service to have your eyes opened to see more need that is around you. Or maybe even just to be honest about where we might be at in our own personal situations. So I'm excited about the church, because in this partnership, I get to see the best of the church. I get to see followers of Jesus, as you might say, putting their money where their mouth is. The people of God can bring amazing contributions to their communities, supporting practical needs while truly caring for people's relational and spiritual needs as well. So not only in this partnership do we have the honor of playing our part of ending money chaos for individuals in whānau in Aotearoa, but we get to do this with Jesus, seeing lives transformed through the lived, transformative, redemptive power of the gospel. So when someone calls CAP, the local debt coach, like Ellen, is the person on the front lines, alongside followers of Jesus from that local church. So it's people like you. You are the ones who will sit with clients in their homes in what's truly a vulnerable and almost sacred space. Here in this place, clients share their stories, often revealing the pain, the grief, the burdens that they've held for years. For some, it's the first time that they've shared or revealed their financial chaos to anyone. So people hand over their debts one by one. Then debt coaches, volunteers, they listen. They sit and they hold space for that story. They encourage clients, they pray with them, and they begin to see that that burden is lifted and that chaos begins to calm. And this is such a unique opportunity to share the goodness of God in the midst of life's chaos and to help people take steps closer to Jesus. Then, as clients begin to work with the rest of the CAP team, debt coaches and volunteers will be the people in the community who support clients day to day. And so that could be a food parcel to help fill empty cupboards, some baking for the whānau to enjoy. It could be an invitation to a weekly dinner that the church might host, or an invitation to a Bible study together. It could even be the offer to mow someone's lawns, or a simple message of encouragement to the client as they go about their week. This year, we heard an amazing story from one of our clients who had no interest in Christianity, had no interest in Jesus. And in fact, when their debt coach went to go visit him, he said, "No thanks, don't want to hear about it, just want the debt help." And so the beautiful debt coach says, "That's fine," and continues to just walk alongside this client. As their relationship grows, this debt coach begins to notice that the client loves motorcycles. And so she says, "Oh, my hubby loves motorcycles too. I'll introduce you to my hubby." So she introduces the client to her husband, and they get on like a house on fire because all they talk about is motorcycles. And then the husband says, "I've been actually wanting to rebuild a motorcycle. Why don't you and I just catch up weekly and we can just build this bike together?" So the client's debt help journey began, but also he began to start working on this motorcycle with the debt coach's husband. And they begin working on it and working on it and working on it, as well as working on his finances too. 6 months later, this debt coach's husband leads this man in the salvation prayer, not in a church, not in the foyer, not in a Bible study, but in the garage. How cool, eh? And this client, in his own words, says, yeah, I wanted to see what you fellas are really about. I come across Christians all the time, but I wanted to know if you are who you really say you are. And how wonderful that there was this practical help available, and just people who would just show up. Not necessarily doing things that's outside of their scope, but just loving their neighbor. And so today, well, as we continue on our debt help journey together, when mums and dads, when they talk about and share their stories of money chaos, what they can often describe is a feeling of drowning. Because living in this unmanageable debt can feel like they've been caught in a river. And they're trying to brave it out and swim against the current, but the current is too strong and it keeps dragging them further away. I want you to meet Sharon and Mike. And they were forced to make some awful choices each day. Do we buy food or do we pay the power bill? Sharon said, "I saw my kids getting sick. The power got cut and we'd all be sleeping in the living room more sick than ever." Now, Sharon and Mike, they had jobs. They were both earning, but there still wasn't enough money to get petrol, and unable to drive, they couldn't get their kids to doctor's appointments. So it seemed the only option was to take out further debt. But as debt compounds and the repayments became virtually impossible, Sharon said, "We couldn't see any way of keeping our heads above water." Soon she found her marriage hanging by a thread, and she and her husband Mike fought about that debt day and night. This is another client, Luna, and she says, "When you're in that place, it's chaotic and you can't even think properly. Luna talked about how isolated she was. She says, because you feel down, you don't want to go and share your downness with other people, so you just stay at home. And so when you're caught in this river, it can feel really, really overwhelming. And it's not just about the money. It is about identity. It's about self-worth. It's about relationships being stolen away as well. And so Cap was invited to walk into the homes of Luna, of Sharon, of Mike, seeing and highlighting what God has done in their lives. And what is his promise? I think we might all know John 10:10, that Jesus has come that we should have life and have it to the fullest. Yeah, abundantly. Awesome. And today I want to share more about the realities of this unmanageable debt and poverty in Aotearoa. But I'm also going to share some incredible stories of lives being transformed by God. So this is Sarah, and we're going to see and hear and listen to her story today. Just stand here and click, maybe.
I was working as a hairdresser in Hamilton. I developed carpal tunnel. I actually lost full capability of my hands to be able to return to hairdressing. Mentally, it took a huge toll because I'd lost the one thing that I was so passionate about and was building a future. And when it came to the debt repayments, I just freaked out. I couldn't do it. The pressures of people trying to contact me all the time just would stop answering calls. I got sick of opening letters, wanting to have good meals for the kids. And yeah, I guess not being able to afford the right foods. I started to feel quite ashamed and I ended up hitting like rock bottom. At the time, I lost the sort of passion to want to be a parent because I didn't think I could parent, especially in the mental state that I was in. There was a sort of turning point for me where I just decided like, I just can't be here anymore. The kids will be better off with my family. I felt like I'd failed as a mum. I have a close childhood friend. I messaged her and I said to her, like, this is goodbye. She organised me all this amazing help with psychologists, organisations in Nelson that help with mental health. I heard about CAP from my counsellor. The first call that I made to CAP, I was definitely nervous, not only for talking to someone who was Christian, but also the facing of who I really owed. All the negative thinking I had about not being worth it or not capable started changing when I started to do something about things. The next step was when Dave, my CAP coach, came and met me for the first time. He was real honest and like real about things. At the end of our time together, he'd asked if he could pray for me. One of the things he prayed about was for there to be a time that my boys will come back into my care and for us to have, you know, a healthy, loving house. And at the time, it was sort of like, yeah, that is my goal, and knowing that this is part of that step to get those kids back to me. Things in me mentally improved, just I could breathe. When I had my next appointment, to have someone say, like, we've worked it out and it's going to be this many years and you'll be out of it, that was just like, wow, like that was so much hope that I had. I wasn't fearful anymore. All the wraparound support that I received while working with CAP was just mind-blowing. It wasn't just about we're just working with money and we're just doing budgets. It made me feel supported as a whole. It got to the point where I was ready to have the boys come live with me. Dave had talked to me about a camp for clients. I was really excited because we've never really had a holiday While on camp, we had a worship service where the topic was grace, something that I didn't know anything about. I guess it resonated with me in the sense that there were things in my life that I have regret or have guilt or shame about, but to sort of hear that there's hope for being forgiven for all of that. I remember sitting there, got this feeling in me, and it's hard to explain, but when I got that feeling in me, I knew it meant something, and that's when I decided that I wanted to become a Christian, let Jesus into my life. It just flooded me and it felt right. It wasn't long after the camp I became debt free. I remember my cheeks hurting because I was just smiling so much because it was unreal. I was so excited, even excited right now, thinking about that phone call. I think seeing the benefit now too, now that I don't have debt, the benefit for my kids pushes me to keep making better choices. Getting to drive to the beach, not having to worry about my petrol. The other week we went and got frozen yogurts. I'm just reminded in those moments that, wow, you're not in debt anymore. You can do this without feeling guilty. And, you know, I don't know if other people understand, but for me, they were big moments. I'm definitely more optimistic about the possibilities. Having a head that's clearer, that isn't worrying about finances all the time. Now I'm at the end of a 3-year degree for counselling to be able to help people in all aspects of their life. Since making the commitment, my faith's definitely grown. Attending church every week, that's something that has just added another element of awesomeness into my life and my kids' lives. Without CAP, I'd be in such a different situation right now. I wouldn't have my kids, I wouldn't have a house. I just want to create, like, just a loving home. Like, that's all I want. And I think that's all any mum or dad wants.
How good. I love the line that Sarah says in that video. She says, "I feel like I could breathe again." And isn't that the feeling when we experience what Alan's been sharing about this morning, that freedom, not just with the physical needs that we have, but internally as well, that kind of freedom means we can breathe again. And so I would love to encourage you a little bit around scripture as well this morning. And the scripture we're going to read is from Luke in chapter 4. And just a bit of context in this scripture, Jesus has returned from his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, and he returns to his hometown in Nazareth. And Jesus was often teaching in different local synagogues. This wasn't unusual for him to be at a synagogue. So surrounded by friends, maybe relatives, neighbors, he intentionally chooses to read this scripture from Isaiah. In Luke, in chapter 4, it is verse 18, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this is who I am. This is why I've come. This is why I'm here. That Jesus entering this earth in physical form as the Son of God, he says, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to bring good news to the poor. I'm here to bind up those who are wounded. For anyone with a broken heart, I'm here to heal, to set captives free. So in Jesus, his community, they're being offered some new eyes. Eyes to see God's kingdom breaking in around them. As Jesus travels the countryside, the poor, the sick, the suffering, the outsiders are welcomed in. And this is where the Old Testament has been heading all along. The law that God has given to the people is now being fulfilled in Jesus, not only with the Jews, but with Gentiles too. So Jesus models what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like, or what it is like. And how do the people react? Not great. You would think this would be good news, but they don't react great. They don't like it. Jesus offers them these new eyes to see their lifestyle for what it is, that actually the people of God have been excluding people who don't meet their standards. They've been trying to maintain their own sense of rightness before God and before each other. And actually, miracles were like rarely happening, if at all, in synagogues. But where were they happening with Jesus? In the fields, on the roadsides, on lake shores, at homes and marketplaces. They were happening everywhere. And so as this is occurring, actually anger is growing in people as Jesus explains, hey, I've come here for the hungry. I've come here for anyone who needs me. I've come here for the desperate, for the alone. And those that are the good people who are living by the rules or maintaining their comfortable lives, expecting that in this way God's going to move in their midst, it's not that that's a bad thing, but what Jesus is almost saying is, where's the hunger? Where is the hunger for Jesus himself to move in their lives? And so they don't seem to be very hungry, very excited, or very welcoming of Jesus' prophetic reading. They're saying, who's this dude? Hey, who's this? I know this fella. He's talking like this. He's just the son of Joseph. He's just the son of a carpenter. Who's he to say all these things? And so they couldn't actually see the good news that was being delivered for what it was. Who's this dude to be welcoming those who were ritually unclean into our space? And their offense ends up boiling down into blind rage, and they actually chase Jesus out of town. They try to kill him. So, why might this be relevant to us? I think, I'm going to maybe say this as honestly and as humbly as I can, and thank goodness I'm only here for one Sunday because Pastor Royce can clean this up next week. I wonder if Jesus is saying, you thought you had to behave in a particular way in order for me to come to you. And that sometimes in the way that we act, that the kingdom of God can't move in an atmosphere of entitlement and pride. But Jesus responds to the humble, to the honest, to the risky prayers of those who have a deep awareness of their need for him. And I want to say this morning, this is why I think we see such incredible opportunity within CAP. Because people all just find themselves at the end of themselves. And they're looking for hope. And in a really loving and practical way, we can say, here is hope. Here is an invitation. Here is good news. I want to say this morning, poverty is more than just lack of money. It actually damages relationships. It steals identity and it robs mental health. For CAP, we've had a guiding question in this recent season. And this question has been, Lord God, what are you doing in Aotearoa? And what is our part to play? And as we've been praying this prayer, we know that it's working with the church and sharing the love of Jesus with people. That's a core part of the kaupapa. And the impact CAP seeks to have through our services is twofold, as you can see. It's about strengthening financial position, but it's also about strengthening relationships with money, with God, with others, and with themselves. And that when we do that, we can have financially resilient whānau who are proud of what they are building. And people who work with CAP often notice changes in more than their financial situation. They notice changes in the way that they think about and interact with money, how they feel about themselves or their role as a parent, as we heard from Sarah. Sarah, who was struggling for years, but others who don't often see the struggle from the outside. We might see a smile or a strong exterior that says everything's okay. Perhaps you feel this way, hoping you can hide your financial situation from the community around you. And the current keeps quickening, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And you might feel this morning it's hard for you to keep your head above the water. Maybe you're just feeling tired and weary and sapped from the energy that it takes to keep your head above the water, and it might be tempting to just give up. But I want to say this is not the end of the story that Jesus is telling. I wonder if you can picture with me him reading that scripture out. In my version, in my head, he's got a cheeky grin as he shares this good news. Freedom for the captives, sight for the blind, good news for those struggling in money chaos. Because of a committed friend, the local church, a help from CAP, Sarah's life was transformed. But we know that so many others who are in desperate need of help, There's actually a ballooning need right now for CAP services. And the sustained cost of living crisis is taking its toll on thousands of whānau. And we also know even within the church, there's lower attendance and fewer people to volunteer, that these are challenges faced within the local church as well. And now while this can seem like a bleak outlook for CAP, an organization with the vision of ending money chaos in Aotearoa, this is what we are here to do. We are here to be a part of the solution. We're invited to participate in what God is doing in our nation. CAP actually partners with over 130 churches up and down Aotearoa, local churches who are serving in complex needs. Since 2008, CAP has helped 2,434 households go completely free from debt. And yeah, you can praise God for that. Yeah, totally. And many more than this have left CAP with the tools to manage a repaying within themselves. And in just the last 7 years, $55 million have been repaid by clients or totally written off. It's so good. And one of the awesome things is that CAP never pays a single dollar toward that directly. The people who are paying off debt are clients themselves. They are learning the tools to be empowered to walk out their lives in the freedom that Jesus has promised. That even in the chaos, like we were singing this morning, even in the chaos, I can raise a hallelujah. I can just put one foot in front of the other, and I can make this one payment, and I can show up to this one meeting if I just do this. And they just keep doing this day after day, and then their debt has been repaid. And so thousands of people have taken these steps closer to Jesus, people like Sarah, who are not only walking with Jesus, but now supporting their own families as well. And so what I want you to do now is just take a deep breath. And what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you, maybe someone who's not your spouse. Yeah. So maybe turn around. Yeah. Turn to the person. And what I want you to do is share the details of your financial situation with that person. No? Not keen? Okay, please, if you've started talking, please stop. It was a joke. I'm glad most people here thought it was a joke. If you've started sharing your financial situation, please stop. but we kind of laugh when we hear that, because we're like, there's absolutely no way. There's no way. I might have worshipped with this person for the last 5 years, but there's no way I'm sharing my financial situation with them. Right? That's an absolute joke. I'm not going to do that. And so I want us to just be aware of the really brave thing it is for anyone to call CAP and say, I need help. And then the amount of courage it takes to be able to show up to an appointment with a complete stranger, as nice as they are, and then one by one begin to say, this is my shame. This is my mistakes. But isn't that what the cross allows us to do? Isn't that what Jesus allows us to do? Isn't that the meaning of his sacrifice, that there's no ugly that's too ugly, no broken that's too broken, no shame that's too big or small, that whatever it is, the suffering of the cross allows us to bring it all to Jesus and say, here, help, help. And so I do want to maybe encourage us today for CAP. This month alone, 250 courageous New Zealanders who are drowning in debt will reach out to CAP for help. And between 80 and 100 of them will actually engage in our service. And so I want us to maybe just sit with that stat a little bit. 250 people will call, but only 80 to 100 will feel like they can engage for one reason or another. For every person who calls CAP, our team at support office, they offer prayer. Whether they engage in our service or not, they say, just say, can we pray for you? And actually 98% of people say, yes, please. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. And sometimes we can feel like, oh, nah, people won't want that. I tell you, people are pretty open if you say, hey, can I pray for you? And so as CAP continues to visit homes and enter challenges and complex environments, debt coaches like Alan, hey, they need your prayer. And maybe that's a way that you might be able to get involved today. Maybe you can pray, and there are other important ways that you can respond too. There are people here who are regular givers to CAP. I do want to say thank you. And for those of you who aren't, maybe you can consider supporting the wider work of CAP. Maybe you can give financially today. Supporting this holistic help to address this ballooning need actually does require financial resources. I wonder, just a question for everyone, if you could help to release one New Zealander from poverty without it impacting your own life, would you? Right? Oh, I love you. She's like, absolutely. With CAP, essentially, it would take $1.50 a day, $46 a month. Or perhaps you could join with someone else, tag team it. You might say, I need that $1.50 for my coffee. You might say that, well, you can maybe tag team with someone else, and between the two of you, you might be able to give $23 a month. For some of you, supporting an entire family might be possible. That's $126 each month to provide that life-transforming support. Essentially, my question this morning is, what seed could you sow today? You might be in a position where you can't sow financially, but maybe you can pray. Maybe you might have an hour or two a week that you might say to Alan, hey, I'd love to jump on your volunteer team. I don't have the finances to give, but I can pray, or I can bake, or I like motorcycles, or I can, or I love card games, or I have a small group and run a Bible study that I'd be happy to bring people along to. Whatever it is, there's ways that we can sow if we're feeling like that is how God is leading us. So practically, if you want to give this morning, Alan and I will be out on the table there, out in the foyer. Come see us, come chat with us, and we'll tell you how we can make that happen. Or we can just chat. There's some stories you can collect here, some of the stories you would have heard already in our service today, but it is a way to be encouraged this morning. I will be hanging around a little bit here to answer any questions, or just to hang and share more about the impact of CAP Mahi. Thank you so much for having me in your service today. Actually, I'd love to close the service, and what we will do is just spend a little bit of time in communion together. And I've heard from Pastor Royce that you guys have been changing things up a little bit in church. I've heard that during communion, you've actually decided to move the seats and get into little groups and have a little moment together in communion. And so I'm just going to take a quick moment now, and I wonder if we can come together around the communion table to be thankful, but also to acknowledge our need. And so what we're going to do is, just in your little spaces, if you could just turn around in groups of three or four, no more than that, because more than that, the talking will take too long. So you're obviously a talkative bunch. So just turn around your seats in groups of three or four. Yeah, go on and do that now. Awesome, awesome. Feel free to stay in your own whānau if you'd prefer that. Thank you. So once you've got a small group, why don't you send someone up from your group up the front, and you can grab some communion emblems for your people. That's fine. Yep. There you go, there's four there.